Next up, we have 2293. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes. Case 2293, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examiner. The respondent is Taylor Williams, DVM. On February 16th, 2022, the board voted to open an investigation regarding services advertised for respondents' premises. A flyer was being distributed advertising vaccines, vet tech visits. And this did not go in front of the investigative committee. I brought it back to the board for your review and discussion.
Okay, we have the respondent.
Yeah.
Care to address the board?
Thank you. Thank you very much for letting me speak today.
Please state your name.
Sorry, my name is Dr. Taylor Williams.
Thank you, and you have 5 minutes to address the board.
Okay, I wanted to let you know, my response is, I feel like pretty sufficient, but just to kind of review, and I know there was some confusion last time between our name, Low Cost Spay Neuter, and the Humane Society of Mojave County that was on the flyer. I purchased Low Cost Spay Neuter Clinic about 10 years ago, and then it was just Spay Neuter, and we have kind of morphed then, and we just moved to our new buildings in January. We have a premise inspection next week, actually. And so we have our Humane Society, which we have had that in conjunction with our clinic for the past 4 years, but we decided to change our name to, because we fit more of a Humane Society, because we do more than that. So when it comes to the vaccine onlys, I looked at all the flyers on our websites and everywhere, and I'm only seeing vaccination office call, but basically we have two separate prices for different exams. All exams are seen by a doctor. It's just, we used to do vaccination clinics, but with COVID, we shut them down a few years ago. And we have a lot of people in our area that can't afford regular, $60 exam just for vaccinations. So it's kind of congruent to an exam at like a Petco or PetSmart or one of those where you pay $10, the technician brings them into the room, depending on the client's preference. We have some that are okay, that have coming to us for a while or that don't want to necessarily go to the room, so the technician will take the dog back. In those cases, and then they will perform their TPR, and they will also get a history from the owner. The record is all made up for that, and then a doctor will take a look at the pet. If there's any medical concerns that they have, we do let them know that with this exam, we would need to change it to a veterinary exam if we want to go ahead and go through, like, if you notice a heartworm or a dental disease or something that we need to discuss. If the client declines that, then we, if they're safe, we can give them the vaccines, and then they go on their way. On our record, when they get the exam, it does say vaccine only exam. It doesn't say technician exam on our computers. So I'm sorry, we have a marketing person that does our flyers, so I don't know if there was some mix up, just because it's kind of insinuated that this is like a healthy pet exam, but as many veterinarians know, they come in for a healthy pet exam, but a lot of times they're not healthy, so then we'll change it, as well as if they're a puppy, we change it to a puppy exam as well, and then, you know, they are required to be in front of the veterinary with the room for those, but we adjust it, and we're a low-cost clinic, so sometimes people don't want to pay the difference, then we just say whatever, and we do it anyway, so. I'm sorry for the confusion. We've checked all flyers to make sure that says vaccine only on there, and then that is also discussed with them whenever they check in that this is for vaccinations only, and if they have a pressing, you know, problem or whatnot, we should just change it to a veterinary full exam, and we will see them either way, because we have two doctors on staff just for office calls every day, so, all right.
Any questions?
Yes,
and comments.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure we're clear on it. So the concern was, I guess you brought up a concern about the Humane Society name.
I'm sorry.
I could care less about that.
Okay.
So that's a corporation commission thing.
Okay.
I don't think we have any concern there. But the main concern was over the flyer, it said vaccine vet tech visit. So that's implying that the tech is doing the exam. And that was the problem. So that's what I want to make sure we're clarifying, that
No, there is a veterinarian that examines every pet. We have it, the veterinarian is on record for doing that. They've had their notes put in. It's just that flyer, it might have been insinuated just that you're not always going to just be able to bring up all your concerns with the veterinarian. And that's, so I'm sorry for the miswording. And I've checked and I can't even find the flyer that had it on. So I'm sorry.
No, and it's okay. I mean, because that's what we want to make sure. Because,
oh, yes. No.
At least, I mean, we'll see what. Ms. Sullivan, yes. I say, but I mean, we just got to make sure a doctor's involved. I mean,
absolutely.
Booster vaccines, we're seeing this more and more.
Okay.
We've had hospitals that are trying to get away with just having technicians do stuff because, oh, the dog's healthy. And it's like, that's not, or is that allowable? And that's the other big question.
Yeah.
I can understand that maybe this could have been an issue with like a marketing thing. Mm-hmm. That was the big problem, though. As long as the doctor's seeing the pets,
yes. You
can charge whatever you want. I mean, I think $10 is low. I do the same kind of thing at my hospital, though. I mean, I have the wellness pet exam where if it's just in and out, I'm doing an exam with a technician and they head out and I go on to the next appointments that are sick and I charge more for those ones.
Yes.
So I think it's good to have this kind of thing. I think it's a great tool, but I just want to make sure, the vet tech exam, that's where we start getting
completely
into problems because there's no
agree.
Such thing as a legal vet tech exam.
Absolutely.
So, so I'm glad you're doing everything right. Thank you for that. I'm sorry.
Yes. we are on the same wavelength, Dr. Wright.
Cool.
I just would like to add, do we have a corrected flyer?
I can get one to the board. I can print it off of our Facebook. We usually do social media mainly as our, but I can supply the board with that. Or I'm sorry, I didn't bring a new one printed out. It's usually just only online and like that we do them.
You're confirming here verbally that it no longer says vaccine vet tech visit?
No, it says vaccine only, not vet tech. So if you guys would prefer us to say that somewhere differently, there's no vet tech on it, but it just says vaccine only and then veterinary exam below that. So if there's a better wording, I would be happy to change that to whatever you guys would prefer.
I don't know if we have any recommendations or purviews on that. It's talk to your lawyer thing. Like, so the biggest thing we care about is that the veterinary
that there's a veterinary client relationship.
I don't care if you call it Watusi, I don't know, whatever.
Yes.
But as long as the doctor's doing the exam, not a technician relying
yes.
on an unlicensed person saying, oh yeah, you're fine for a rabies vaccine or distemper vaccine, even if it's a booster, that's not cool.
Okay.
Still have a bit of a concern in that it says vet exam, and exams are required prior to any vaccine administration.
Mm-hmm.
And so aren't all of them vet exams?
They are, we are just stating that one is a vaccine only exam, and so it's if you're just getting vaccinations only. We can do wellness exam instead. It's just many times people think all their animals are well when they're not well. And so that's where we try to have that wording, a vaccine only exam and a veterinary. We have veterinary, or we could just say like sick exam versus vaccine only or.
And that's where things come in with consulting with other people, just asking
the
specialists. And,
yes.
And because just like marketing, there's a reason why Colgate spends millions of dollars for a toothpaste commercial. Because marketing can work. I mean, it's different in veterinary medicine, of course. But it's just finding the wording. Like I said, it sounds like you're doing everything right.
Yes.
It's just when we don't know that and we can't verify that and we
totally
see something
understand.
Like this, we're going to be like, now we got to come in and deal with this. So you got a long drive down here for just a flyer that was just erroneous.
I know. That's why I promise I took it seriously and, I was very sorry for the miscommunication with the lawyer.
It's mainly just a confusion thing here. Like I said, if it came back that you were doing something wrong, this would be a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing everything right. There was just confusion around the wording, and
mm-hmm.
that's where it's like sometimes just asking someone else, saying, "What does this imply to you?" Because we just get stuff saying people send it into us, being like, "What the heck is this?"
We had it for 10 years, so I didn't know that. Never had an issue till now, so I'm
never
sorry.
Okay. Either way, we've
got way off where I can't see over the top of the weeds now. So we need a motion.
Mr. Logan wants
to
hear his favorite
thing. So we can let her relax a little bit.
She
gets a little tense.
Well, just drag it out then.
No.
It's a cardio workout. No, I'll make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion?
Can we ask that a corrected flyer be submitted to staff?
We don't need to do that for the vote.
Why?
I can look at the.
She's inspecting her.
She's coming Wednesday.
Okay.
So, and we can show. I said you're welcome to look at any of our records.
There's another day.
I will draw some inspections coming up.
We can give direction, but doesn't need to be part of the vote. Motion on the floor is to dismiss. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And the ayes have it. Case is dismissed. Thank you for making the trip down here today. Next up, it's 10 o'clock, so it's time for our first is going to be section 4, number 1, 1937, in regards to Crystal Bellino, the Indiana quarterly appearance is required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information presented. Dr. Bellino, welcome back. Ms. Solman, you are the lead.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have requested that Dr. Delano be prepared with a three-year retrospective of her time to date in recovery and on probation. And also up for discussion is the second point after the update is that per her consent agreement, it can be at her time for a complete full compliance review for the consent agreement to consider, and if it's successful, to consider step down on AA attendance. So first, Dr. Delano, it's your stage.
Okay, I just have bullet points. So just kind of background on me, I've always been one to not have the strongest voice. I kind of go in the back of the crowd, you know, until I get pushed. And so really I just kind of relaxed in a, found myself in two unhealthy relationships, both personal and work. And I just let it go, never stood up for myself. And it eventually came to a head and I made some bad decisions and ended up, now I can't read my writing. Ended up hitting my personal rock bottom. For me, that was my rock bottom. You know, I've definitely my whole life learned through my mistakes, but that was kind of a, you know, I can lose everything I've really worked for and loved doing in a matter of just one mistake. So I was totally scared of losing my license and losing the opportunity to do what I love to do as a veterinarian. Since the board, you guys, became involved and I started going through the consent agreement process, really I turned things around really quickly. I mean, it just kind of, sometimes I just need to see what the other side is before I, you know, keep going on the right side. Therapy really, really helped. It actually brought my voice back, and I just learned a lot, both in a work relationship and a personal relationship. You know, getting it off my chest with someone that's neutral and not on, you know, your friend's side or family side. And so my voice came back, my confidence back, I feel like myself again. It's been a long road getting there, but you know, everything's just kind of back in place, back where it should have been. I can handle stress a lot better, both jobs and the hiccups I have in my relationship, a lot better than before therapy and everything else. It should have started a long time ago, especially with the career that we have. I just, you know, I found a boss that supports me and appreciates me. I found a relationship, my boyfriend, that supports me and appreciates me, and stronger with my family than I have been, you know, before college. You know, I was very independent, just, you know, didn't need my parents, and they just came here this past weekend for Easter. We hosted again. So overall, you know, without the involvement that you guys had and everything, I don't see me being here now. I'm just super happy. I mean, I had a more positive outlook on life instead of the stress that I just constantly circled in my brain. I have outlets, I have just a good circle, and I know I was a part of bringing that circle back together. So it's a mistake I will always learn from, always. And that's pretty much all I have, but
that's excellent, Dr. Delano. Thank you. We can see it in your presence, in your smile, in your forthrightness to be candid about painful past It's much appreciated, and it makes, I'll speak just for me personally, it makes it so worthwhile to serve on this board. So thank you. Thank you for your continued success. And now for a technical question of staff.
Yes.
Per the consent agreement, Dr. Delano is, it says, when respondent has 24 months left in the probationary period, which she's completed three and has two left, respondent shall submit a written request for a compliance review by the board's designee. If respondent has demonstrated full compliance with all terms of the order, respondent will be eligible to participate in a step-down component of the order where attendance at and reports from AA will no longer be required. My layperson view sitting on the board is that there's been full compliance, but does staff concur?
Yes, she has.
With that, I'd like to make a motion to step down, approve the step down of Dr. Delano from the component of attendance and reports from 8A, which will no longer be required. And it's my pleasure to do so.
Before I second that, I'm just going to say good job.
Thank you.
I know it's been a long process, and I mean, just seeing the changes from 3 years ago, it's been 3 years.
Yes.
To now, I mean, it's drastically different. From here, now we get into that kind of whole philosophical portion of, like I said, addicts and that kind of stuff, and are you always known? That's a hard argument, I don't know. But the biggest thing is now, if this motion passes and things start stepping down, now it's getting more on you. And getting to the point of, again, once an addict, always an addict and all that stuff, and if that's real or not, relapse is a real thing. And I'm glad you've identified kind of the things that spiraled you down into leading to that. But as this steps down, as we kind of stop babysitting you, which honestly, this is kind of what it is, now we rely on you to recognize those things. And if you see a problem, deal with it the proper way. Like I said, definitely don't want to see it back here. Your smiling face can always come in. Not in this circumstance, but yeah, just if you see something, reach out. Or if you start feeling something, reach out, change something, do something so that we don't go back down. Because like I said, I think addicts can, and I hate using that word, sorry, but I mean, I think it can, you can recover from that and go on and lead a totally normal life. But relapses are very real. We see it all the time. We see it with celebrities, all these people, and I don't want to see that. So like I said, if you have any issues, just find your support structure, just like through vet school, just suck for all of us, reach out and get that help if you feel like you need it. So. So I, with that battle, I will say second.
Okay, a motion for a second to step down and not require
AA
attendance and reports.
Right, correct.
Reported to us.
Correct.
We're not stopping her from going.
Oh, no. Eddie, I encourage you. Any bumps in the road, you can always do a drop in and leave.
You just don't have to show us you went.
That's right. That's right.
Unless you get a gold star on it, then we want to see it.
It's hard not losing those papers.
All right, motion on the floor is to step down. Any further discussion? Since we're changing in order, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Red is an aye, the motion carries.
Well done.
Good job.
Speaking of just one thing, I have my pharmacy profile. I left it in the truck. Do you want me to run and go get it or mail it?
Unacceptable.
I walked in here and I was like, maybe they'll take a break before they see
me. You missed the fire drill.
Why is it you have it when you bring it in? Because I don't trust the mail anymore.
Okay. So. Before I leave.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you again, yeah. Dr.
Good job.
Thank you, guys.
Great to see you. Thank you.
Happy to see you again in 3 months. Well, about 10 minutes, but.
All right, let's go back to initial investigative reviews. We are on 2238. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes, case 2238, the complainant is Edward Smith, respondent is Austin Gifford, DVM. August 10th, 2021, Coolio, an 8-year-old male domestic cat, was presented to respondent for dental procedure. Complainant declined extractions. The procedure was performed and the cat was discharged later that day. On September 23rd, 2021, the cat was presented to respondent for evaluation due to anorexia. Diagnostics were performed, including dental radiographs. All four canines were extracted and no other oral pathology was identified. Complainant felt the cat was still experiencing pain, therefore respondent recommended a dental specialist or a second opinion. He also offered to reassess the cat. Complainant expressed concerns that respondent did not disclose the premises did not have the ability to perform dental radiographs until September. Additionally, he was not provided with diagnostic test results. And the committee concluded that, no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the bill to dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, we had no respondent. We had the complainant. Would you care to address the board?
Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Edward Smith.
Thank you. You may have 5 minutes to address the board.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the board. I appreciate your time. Thank you, especially after a meeting with the investigative committee a couple months ago. My voice has been raised around animals. We've always had pets. Always grew up with pets. My parents bred animals, Siamese cats and stuff like that. So we always believed in having a good veterinarian. I've been going to this clinic since 2001. That's 21 years. And in the 21 years, they've actually had two different owners. The previous owner had an x-ray machine. And that previous owner, which was Dr. Anderson, we had x-rays done on Uzo for dental cleaning in 2003. He also had kidney issues and x-rays done on 2005. Prada, possible broken leg, she had x-rays done in 2007. Sierra, another cat, had x-rays for cleaning done in 2009. And then Celis, which is a long-haired cat that my ex got, had dental cleaning x-rays done in 2011. Plenty of history where we've gone to this clinic for 21 years. And while it was still Anderson Animal Clinic in 2020, was when I first met Austin Gifford. And that's when he actually told me that he was inquiring about buying the property and buying the clinic from Anderson. We identified in a visit that Coolio was starting to develop periodontal disease. And we always spoke about, so in January 8th of 2020, when I first met Dr. Austin Gifford at the Anderson Animal Clinic, which is all right here, we discussed periodontal disease stage 2 x-rays. And that was a thorough investigation also included. His thorough evaluation included x-rays, like what we've done with the previous animals under Dr. Anderson's care. Okay, that was actually for a routine wellness. And all the records of Coolio since he was born Memorial Day weekend, May 30th of 2013. So that's just shy of 9 years. It'll be 9 years this next month in May. Coolio has gone in for every single one of his wellness exams at the same clinic, for all of his shots. Everything's current, everything's up to date. I believe in loyalty and maintaining that relationship with a veterinarian. But things changed when Austin went ahead and got the clinic. And when he did the remodel, evidently the x-ray machine that Anderson had was too big, too bulky, too old, and didn't conform to his remodel. And when they did the remodel, he never disclosed to me that they didn't have that x-ray machine when I went in there for Coolio to go through his, what was, he said was stage 2. But what's funny, on August, when he went in, when Coolio went in there, they identified on the paperwork that it's stage 1 dental, not stage 2. And what's funny, so I called up on September 22nd, the next month, and I talked to the tech, and I says, what did the x-rays identify? And so she says, well, we didn't have an x-ray machine because we just did the remodel and we're getting a new one. In fact, we just got it installed yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute, why was that not disclosed to me when in August when the paperwork said that he had stage two dental disease? I mean, everybody else goes, I called 20 different veterinarian clinics within a 5-mile radius of my house. Every single one of them either has CT scans or x-ray machines. It's 2022. This guy had one, or I'm sorry, Dr. Austin Gifford had one, chose to go ahead and replace it, did not disclose to me that he did not have it for our stage two dental exam. And so the tech went ahead and said, we just got it installed yesterday. I immediately said, well, he's having some issues, still having some mouth issue, let's get Cooley back in. She said, I can schedule you for tomorrow. Went in for the next day, that was a $1,300 bill, and x-rays went ahead and found that he had an abscessed tooth. So that was what was causing his pain, was an abscessed tooth. And so he called me up and he said, hey, we found an abscessed tooth, I recommend extracting all four canines. Now when he called me, and this is on the paperwork, he went in for a cleaning on the 23rd for stage one. But he was in, according to Austin's paperwork the month prior, he went in for stage two. And when when I was talking to him on the phone when he was under anesthesia, he said everything looked totally fine. He says that there's nothing, that he's got a couple of fractured teeth, but since he's an indoor-outdoor cat and he's declawed, let's not go ahead and do the extraction because they're totally fine. Well, come to find out his issues were actually caused by an abscessed tooth, which we identified the next month because he had an x-ray machine. And I truly believe that he should have, as a veterinarian, should have disclosed to us, especially with the history of us going there for almost 21 years with all the different animals that we had going through with Dr. Anderson, that Austin should have told us that they temporarily do not have an x-ray machine at that time. And he could have referred us to go to an emergency clinic to go ahead and get an x-ray, but he did not. And it's that commitment to where he did not fully disclose, and he should have, especially with a well-committed client that showed commitment to him and his practice and also the previous owner. And that's my argument. And even though that there are guidelines, and even when I was in here before the investigative committee, the investigative committee said that there's no guideline that states that a doctor needs to disclose that they don't have an x-ray machine. But what about if the practice in that clinic had an x-ray machine for the previous 20 years, and you've actually had x-rays done on your previous visits for similar visits and procedures done on other animals of your other pets? At what point does it change to where he should go ahead and state, sorry, sir, we just did a remodel, we got rid of the old machine, we're expecting a new machine come in on the 22nd, which would have delayed our visit from August 10th to September 23rd, the day after. And instead of actually having $2,000 in bills, we could have maybe done it in $1,100. And that's my argument. And I think it's fully, fully, fully justified. And I truly believe that, and I asked a lot of questions, and it got to a point where I was talking to the manager, and I even apologized. They even sent an email saying, you know, apologize. And I don't know if it was because her and I didn't quite click, but I'm used to getting questions answered when I talk to different people. And it was new staff.
We're getting 2 minutes over. So.
Okay. Now, one thing I want to state is that the witness, Dottie, she's been working at that practice at that location for 20 years. She was a receptionist and one of the techs for Dr. Anderson all through the 20 years. And I asked Dr. Austin right in front of Dottie at the front desk when I paid that $1,200 bill, why did you not tell me you did not have an x-ray machine? And his response was, well, on your healthcare plan, it's not a line item. That was his response, which I think is unjustified. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you. Can you step back?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. This is Ms. Frost. You were the lead on this case.
Yes. So obviously reading the complaint, the response, reviewing the medical records, and, you know, then the investigative committee's, you know, discussion, information gathered, you know, I guess it's a significant amount of our cases are communication, and I would say this case is no exception. I think there's some other pieces, you know, that are like maybe relevant in the sense that there was still pain afterwards, and, you know, what were some other things going on, but really it comes down to communication. And in this case, you know, with a long-term client in a practice and having changes of equipment and ownership and those types of things, I mean, again, that's a business practice and communication and how you choose to conduct business. We don't have a statute, a standard of, we don't have an established standard of care that x-rays are required. I think, at least in my experience in the profession over the past 15 years, dental x-ray has been significantly more common, and as the complainant stated, we called around to find out. And, you know, there are also a lot of practices that exist that don't offer it because it is cost prohibitive. And so we've seen cases that people have complaints because of the cost of these types of services. So it's a really, really, really complicated communication situation here. I mean, I could have more questions regarding the communication, but everything to me points to that there was no standard of care issue, there was no true medical violation. So, you know, where I don't see a medical violation, I kind of am, does it warrant a letter of concern when it comes to communication? And so that's where I'm leaning. I am curious about other board members' thoughts on this case. Or if there's just an overwhelming consensus that they have more questions and want to go to an informal. But that's why I'm at with all of the information that I have. And I really don't know what other questions I would ask. So that's why I hesitate to make a motion to move it to an informal.
And we have a second.
I don't think that was a motion.
I didn't make a motion.
Sorry.
If you want. So I'll make a motion to issue a letter of concern regarding, you know, clear communications regarding, you know, services, you know, provided, or you know, I guess, I don't know if I wouldn't say not provided, so.
So this is Dr. Wright. Just to make a comment, it's a difficult thing. We have had this conversation a lot around x-rays and dental and stuff, and certain states have I think made it a standard, but our statutes come from the state legislature, and we can only kind of make veterinarians adhere to the statutes that are provided by law. And x-rays, while I have in my hospital, and I think they're very, very helpful with dental procedures, are not a legal standard. So unfortunately, we can't really say around there saying that it's a failure
but,
to not have them.
But we do, standard of care changes all the time, though. It's a moving target. That's the thing. It's like there's certain drugs that have been used forever, and then that's no longer acceptable. So I don't see that this would necessarily ever be a specific legislation that's passed. But when does that standard of care change? I don't feel comfortable putting that out there because where I'm at, you know, is the CDC versus a veterinarian. But I think that that's something that the board will essentially maybe even adjust to, right? But again, there isn't going to be something legislated for every single point in veterinary medicine.
No, there's not, but what I'm saying is there a duty to inform someone of what you're not doing when there's no standard a legal standard saying that you don't need to do this. I mean, there's a lot of different things. I mean, I'm not going to paint your dog's toenails purple while they're in the hospital. I mean, I'm not going to tell you I'm not doing that. There's no reason to not tell you that stuff. So, I mean, a letter of concern, I kind of understand what you're saying, but I don't know, do we even have a standing to say, hey, there, because this is not a communication issue. Yes, ultimately, after the fact, it's a communication issue, but the inciting of not saying we have x-rays, well, there's no reason that you have to have x-rays. So I don't know if we can say that's a communication issue that arises to even a letter of concern, in my opinion.
Right. Well, I don't think there's not a reason to have x-rays.
Yeah.
There's not a requirement to have an x-ray machine, right?
Well, so that's why I'm saying the communication thing is a stretch.
Right. Should there always be, so for example, whenever you have to make a specialty referral, is that something that has to happen? You need to talk to them about before dental, you know, your pet really should have dental x-rays. You could have a referral to a dental specialist. Is that something that should have been talked about, especially with three fractured canines? And then it's funny because the fourth canine is the one that was abscess that wasn't fractured. I don't know, that's the question, but to me, there's a communication issue here. That's like 99% of our cases, and I'm just making up a percentage. So overwhelmingly, it's a communication issue, but is there a medical issue? I don't see one of those. So is it worth having more conversation, being able to open conversation, I should say, with a respondent and complainant and going to an informal, or does that seem irrelevant? I'm not like married to one particular thing with this case because I have a lot of different things pulling me in different directions. So I'm just like, I'm just going to make the motion so we can have discussion because I don't know. And I feel like the information from both sides is there.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have more questions, but I didn't know if anybody else felt completely different about that.
No, and I do agree with you, and it's interesting you mentioned the referral to the dentist because there is a statute or a rule, like off the top of my head, I can't remember which one it is, that says you do have to refer to a specialist if it's going to elevate the level of care, basically. So that is actually in statute and rule, so that would be an argument potentially,
right.
But in a letter of concern around communication, I'm like, well, I don't think there was a duty for communication here that even potentially had an issue because there is nothing that says you have to have that. So that's just kind of my sticking point is I do understand what you're saying, and it is concerning. It is, like I said, I think x-rays are good, and I think that is something that we should do if we can, but I don't want to fault someone for not having that and for not having that conversation when there's no duty to have that conversation.
Right, I think for me, it's not that, if this was the first time that he was visiting the clinic and it was, that's just the way the clinic operated, yes. But the fact that we do have a history and it was a service that he had received multiple times before for his pets, it kind of makes, and yes, you know what happens when you assume, but you make the assumption that that's what you're bringing your pet in for again. And so if there had been a change, if there was a piece of equipment that wasn't available, then I do feel like that's something that you should make a statement and say, hey, this is something that we normally do, but unfortunately we can't do that right now. Do you want to reschedule?
Yeah.
I think that that's a communication piece that probably should have been relayed in this case.
That's more of a business practice than anything else because those were previous businesses. He didn't buy the business. He didn't buy Anderson Animal Hospital. He bought Goodwill.
He bought communication.
So like I said, you don't purchase the liabilities of a previous business. That's all wiped away when you purchase an LLC. That's the reason why you do that. You purchase the Goodwill, you purchase the equipment, but you don't purchase the actual business. So like I said, we can't really adhere to what the previous business did because that business is now null and void and defunct in the eyes of the law. This is a brand new business that just uses that same location and same equipment. So whatever the previous business did, we can't hold this current one to that same legal standard.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of less than 30-second comments. I'm sure the public often finds it frustrating that the authority of the board is limited to what's in Arizona state statutes. Not only is it often frustrating for the public, it can sometimes that frustration can be shared by board members. But at this point, I don't see a violation of a state statute.
I like x-rays, I think it's good, but like I said, we have to adhere to state statutes that are given to us by the legislature across the street,
right.
And there's nothing that adheres to it that I can see, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree that there's definitely communication problems here, and things should have been done different, but as Dr. Wright said, the basis for that is a statute that says that it's not required. So I think that's, yeah, definitely.
And we have to remind ourselves that a letter of concern is not just saying, hey, you should probably change that. It's, hey, this could be a violation of a statute. And we can't tie that letter of concern back to any potential violation of a statute. And that's the concern. A letter of concern is not just, eh, maybe you should change this and communicate better. It's, if you don't do this, this statute could be violated. But I can't tie it back to that.
That's a great
point. So we have to kind of make sure we're offering letter of concerns for that as opposed to just, I don't like that. So.
But is it valid to say that there should have been a referral to a dental specialist for dental x-rays because of the fractured teeth?
That's a very, very difficult conversation to have because there's specialists for everything in veterinary medicine. And if we're going to start going down that road, then there's no such thing as general practitioners anymore, except for being a gateway to specialists. So no, I don't think that is there. Now, if this vet says, I cannot deal with this, then yes, it's up to them to refer it. But just because there's a dentist out there doesn't mean you have to refer everything to the dentist, in my opinion.
No, but I'm saying for x-rays because they're fractured teeth.
But again, x-rays, but we're going back to x-rays that are not a legal standard of care. That's the thing, is it all goes back
but
to the same
crux. The standard of care isn't defined legally for every single method. Like, very quickly, what is the standard of care for a legal standard of care for, schizophrenia? Well, there isn't one in our statute. You have to follow the science.
Yeah, which is handed down by the manufacturer. I understand your concern, but like I said, I can't tie it back to a statute, and that's why I can't support any kind of letter of concern personally, because I don't see an actual legal basis for that. Like I said, I understand the concern, and I agree with the concern. I think x-rays are great, but I don't see a legal basis for it, and that's what we have to adhere to, not personal, but legal.
But he recommended x-rays. He's like, oh, but now we have x-rays, so now we want to talk about them.
And I think that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, personally, it's you approach each case as you see each case. So,
I
think that's fine. But the initial not having it, that's the concern.
I'm not recommending blood work today because I don't have lab machines. But next week, I recommend blood work because I have in-house blood machines. That's where I guess the communication just seems off.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree, it's a communication, but this is more of a business practice than an actual legal medical standard issue, in my opinion. This is, if you don't like the way they communicate or they're handling it, there's 18 million other practices out there to go to, and that's what it is. You don't patronize a business where you don't agree with what they're doing. But if they're doing something illegal, that's when we can step in. If you just don't agree with it, there's not a lot we can do. So, was there a motion that was made?
There was a motion, but there was never a second.
Okay.
So without a second, that motion dies. The motion was to issue a letter of concern and communication.
Mr. Chairman, would you entertain another motion?
I absolutely would.
Mr. Chairman, I move we dismiss case 2238 with no violation.
Second.
And motion on the floor is second to dismiss 2238, no violation. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. 2238 is dismissed. Thank you for attending today.
Thank you.
Next up, we have. Go back up to the top, work our way down.
Or do you want to take a break?
If we have to. Yes, let's take a break.
Thank you.